Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Oh, I remember that, John. I will remember that. Granted, I've been listening to Mason Ireland for a long time, but that's okay. I got to build this up to it. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. I'm supposed to promote a phone number for Mason and Ireland, a voicemail to have a chance to be a part of their show. 530-ESPN-710. Keep that number in mind. We got a great show lined up. First thing I want to do on tonight's show is talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, which is always my favorite thing to talk about. But I got Andy Kamenitzi coming up at 7 o'clock. According to Mason Ireland, I'm going to try and get his daughter on with us, Lily, who just had her birthday. We'll see. Look, there's no guarantees on that. I'm putting it out there. I don't want to promise the audience anything. We may or may not get Lily Kamenitzi as part of tonight's show. I'll keep you posted. But let's start the show off with this. Earlier this morning, First Take had a great topic, and I mentioned it yesterday too. Is this season the best shot for the Lakers to win an NBA championship with LeBron James? Is this season the best chance for the Lakers to win an NBA championship with LeBron James? So that's what I want to start the show off with. And as always, would love to take some of your guys' phone calls. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. There's a couple different cases you could make on this. I'm going to make the case that we'll have just as good as an opportunity next season as we're going to have, hopefully, this year. And by the way, some of this conversation comes up, too, because we really, really don't have any idea how things are going to play out for the Lakers, how things are going to play out for the NBA. I've mentioned this a couple times. Sometimes I'm super optimistic, and other times I'm like, yeah, it's over. we're not going to have a season. But a lot of people hit me up on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. And on Twitter, great responses, and I think I have almost 50 responses. Everybody has their own opinion on this, but let me make the case for, no, this isn't going to be our best shot, or let's not overreact if the Lakers don't end up finishing this season, or hypothetically, we finish the season and we don't win a championship. A lot of people are saying that it takes time for LeBron James and Anthony Davis in their first year together, give them a second to continue to roll. Now, granted, we've had incredible chemistry in the first season for the Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I think it's also fair to say it's not a perfect team. It's not a perfect roster. The question was never going to be how LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to play together. We've always kind of felt like, all right, this squad has exactly what they need as far as the top two players. They complement each other very well. But the question's always been, what about all the other players? How are the role players going to fit in? How is the bench going to come into play? Is Kuzma going to make big contributions? So those that say, hey, don't worry, it's not just this season that the Lakers got a chance at a chip. Next year they'll have just as good as a chance. The argument's going to be made, well, give the front office also some time to keep making some tweaks to the roster. Maybe they make some trades in the offseason. Maybe Kuzma's on the roster, maybe he isn't. Maybe some of these expiring contracts, once they're off the books, the Lakers can now look at other veteran players on minimum contracts that just want to come in and win an NBA championship. I think that's typically the case you can make for, no. The window is bigger than just this season. And I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't disagree with that. It's not just coming down to this year for the Los Angeles Lakers and that's it. But is this year, under the circumstances and how successful the Lakers have been so far this year, is this season the best opportunity, do you feel, with LeBron James on this team? You can also make the case that, look, this is a brand new head coach. It's a brand new coaching staff. There's a lot of change that you don't typically put a team together and in the first year, everything just clicks and they just end up winning. We've seen that, by the way. You remember the Kobe Shaq days? It took a little time. Remember the Powell and Kobe days? It definitely took a year. It took that loss to the Boston Celtics in the finals before they came out and won two in a row. And you could, there's other examples out there too. LeBron's first year in Miami when it was Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron, it took a little bit of time for them to – it took at least 1 year of losing before they finally won an NBA championship. So you can make a case that it's not make it or break it this year, that the chances of winning an NBA championship isn't going to decline if the Lakers didn't win one this year because basketball came back and another team just played better than the Lakers, or that basketball doesn't come back and you have the second best record in the NBA, the best record in the Western Conference, but it became irrelevant because the season was lost to the COVID-19 pandemic. I personally think this is the best chance for the Lakers to win a championship under LeBron James' regime. It's been a fantastic season. Like, just think of everything that the Lakers have accomplished so far this year. My concern with the Lakers moving forward, if let's say we don't get a chance to play out this season, my concern is just one player we depend so much on in LBJ, and he's delivered like no tomorrow. He's been unbelievable this season for the Lakers. I do have concern that you have no idea how next season can go for LeBron. LeBron's leading the NBA right now in assists, 25 points a game or whatever he is, right around that. A handful of rebounds as well, completely controls the game. And this has been for the Lakers just as a whole, this team as a whole, they've had great chemistry. You felt like they were clicking at the right time. You felt like they were turning a corner, getting ready, as LeBron would say, rounding third, getting ready for the postseason. Like, there's a number of things that you can talk about that this season would give you the confidence that this is their best shot to win an NBA championship under LeBron's current contract. So LeBron signed a 4-year deal with the Lakers. He's got an option after 3 years. So that means, let's say, this year and next year. And you got to imagine, too, just because of LeBron's age, it's going to come to a point where he can't sustain something like this for 3 years or whatever the case is. Also, I think our best shot, as we kind of look big picture, Clippers are going to get better next year, aren't they? You have to imagine they're going to. The Bucks aren't in a position where this window is closing. I think there's other the competition is going to get tougher as well. If you look at the Eastern Conference, you figure Philly will start figuring things out. Maybe Miami makes some more moves. Boston will get older. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving will be back. So there are a number of variables that come into it. But I know for me, I think this is their best shot at winning a championship under this LeBron James tenure that he's going to have with the Lakers. But I want to get your guys' thoughts. I want to get your guys' calls. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll read some tweets when we come back. You can hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. I'll read some tweets coming back. We'll take some of your guys' phone calls. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN.
All right, just a quick reminder, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout-out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you can do it. Just email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Provide a first and a last name, city, school, and sport, or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorsShoutout. Each of our shows will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen to hear your senior on 710ESPN. So I'll make sure to do that as well. We'll have somebody on. I put something out on Twitter a little bit earlier. So if you want just some information, you just want to go on social for it, at Alan Sliwa, and all the information is there, or go to our ESPN Los Angeles page. Okay, so I want to play this real quick here. So here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take, and this is the conversation that came up earlier today. Him and Kellerman obviously always go back and forth. The topic is this the best chance for the Lakers to win a championship with LeBron James? Last year, nothing happened. LeBron got injured. This year, Lakers were rolling, and now we're all in the same position where all the sports have stopped. Is this their best shot? Here's Stephen A. Smith.
I've religiously stated, you've got to learn how to win first. Once you learn how to win, then it's that much more difficult to beat you. So if you're the Lakers and you have a team like the Clippers who've never won, we're presuming that if it's not the Lakers that come out of the West, it's going to be the Los Angeles Clippers. I think everyone would concede the fact that the Los Angeles Clippers, from top to bottom, led by Coach Doc Rivers, is the most complete team in basketball. The thing about it is, even though Kawhi knows how to win, nobody else there in terms of the Clippers organization has really done it. And so when you take that into consideration, the bottom line is this. If you're the Lakers, you have to roadblock that. If you succumb to the Clippers and the Clippers get over that hump this year, to me, they're only going to be better the year after, the year after, the year after. In order for the Lakers to win the championship and to go on any kind of run, I believe they have to do it now, assuming obviously a season takes place, a postseason takes place, which I believe it will. If LeBron and them lose this year, especially to the likes of the Clippers, I don't think LeBron will ever win a title in L.A.
All right, so I have Stephen A. Smith right now, or a little bit earlier today on First Take. Listen, I think it's a fair point. Now, that doesn't mean Lakers can't win a chip next season. If you guys hear me on the pregame show, postgame, every time I've talked about the Lakers, when I do Lakers talk, I've always said that this year and next season, this is obviously before things got canceled, this year and next season, this is the window. This is the window that the Lakers have. Other teams have a different luxury. The Bucks have a different luxury than the Lakers. When I say luxury, all I mean is that their players are obviously younger. Anthony Davis is only 26 years old, and hopefully AD is on this, you know, playing for this organization for 15 years, you know, or 10 years, let's say, right? Let's say he's with this this organization for a long time. That's fantastic. But there's no promises that I think AD will stick around simply because this is the best chance he has to win an NBA championship. It's the LA market. I could go through all the laundry list of reasons why I think he would stay with the Lakers. But I think there is a run right now with LeBron James because of LBJ. And when LeBron decides to hang it up or whatever the case is, then it's going to be a completely different story. There's got to be more talent here. AD's not going to be able to do it on his own. But this year and next year is your window. The way the Lakers were playing this year, the way they were playing, it was, I think, as good as basketball as anybody was playing in the league. So I'm going to read off a couple quick tweets here. All right, at Vahe Baronian says, a toss-up between the Clippers and the Lakers, in my opinion. So what he's saying is that at the end of the day, as great as the Lakers have played, it could be the Lakers or the Clippers. I'm going to read off one more. Maybe next year, this is what Darth Chemist says, maybe next year, age will eventually play a role. I hope he can make the most of his time with the Lakers. And I think everybody obviously feels the same way. Let's grab one quick call out there. Curtis, why don't you put them up? Mitch, go ahead, buddy. You're on.
How are you doing? Thanks for my call. Hope everything is good, healthy, and safe. Stay safe out there.
Appreciate it, man. You too.
I think the Lakers got a good team. I think it was the Clippers' year. This interruption is so sad. What's going on? This epidemic has ruined everything. But it doesn't have to be this year, though. I mean, Tom Brady was still winning until, you know, he won last year, a year ago, in his early 40s. I think he's a great athlete. I don't think it's LeBron you have to worry about. It's just in this coming draft. One thing is that I guess they have to trade up a lot. But I'm hearing, like, LaMelo Ball is the second prospect. Any chance they can pick a, you know, I guess
no,
have to give up draft
I definitely,
plays to
no, I definitely don't think so. I appreciate you calling in, Mitch. Thank you for calling in. Lakers are trying to win right now. You know, I think the question, I mean, you just saw Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, I mean, Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell. Think of all the young players that were the Lakers. None of that made any sense once you got LeBron James, and Lakers won't be worried about draft picks or anything like that. It's about winning right now. Nothing else matters. It's literally, this is your pocket. This is your window. I'll read off some more tweets as the show kind of rolls on. But coming up next, let's bring Andy Kamnitsky in this conversation. I'll get AK's opinion, and then you know, we'll see. Maybe we get his little daughter Lily to be a part of the show. It's no guarantees yet, guys. I can't promise anything. It's up to Andy Kamnitsky. All right, we'll have AK coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Andy Kamenetsky coming up here shortly. You know, one of the as I look at some of these different Twitter comments, this is a good one. At own conclusion says, with Lakers, maybe, but LeBron will always find a way to form a super team for easy path to championship, so his future is still bright. I'll say this, definitely ain't no easy championship. LeBron, I think, has lost six. Was he lost in the finals? Five times? Six times? So I will say that he has definitely done like an incredible job of putting together teams, right? Like as a general manager. LeBron is a player general manager, but it's never easy. And maybe the fact that he has and he's able to kind of bring such this star power, it will help him as he gets older, but of course he's going to need help as he gets older. Jess, Curtis, what are you guys doing over there? What's going on over there? Curtis, what is going on in LA Live? Anything going on at all?
I mean, by what is going on, like,
just
I'm
like,
holding it down over here, but that's pretty much it.
Nobody else around LA Live, no. Right? I mean, we haven't been there now in, is this our second week from home?
Yeah, second week. Doesn't it feel like 6 months?
It feels like it's been a long time. Jess, how are you doing?
I am working on trying to get Andy connected, so bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We are working on that.
Okay. I like Andy. You know, Andy plays it tough. Like, hey, Al, you can't just ask me to come on and just think I'm going to come on when you want. Like, Andy is definitely one of those.
If you say seven, it means seven.
Well, his ego, AK has an incredible ego, where he just kind of wants to make sure who's running things. That's what Andy Kamenetsky does. So we'll talk about that when he comes on. Curtis, do you know that you got a lot of run during Crosstalk?
Yeah, I was sitting here. I was like, "Yeah, I don't know where this came from."
Yeah, I didn't know Mason has – I feel like Mason's got a piece of his heart for you. He said that you're coming after this show. And, you know, listen, I've kind of done my due diligence. I have a feeling you are too.
I mean, I wasn't trying to.
Go ahead. But... No. Go ahead. I want you to – we'll go 10 minutes. Go. You go right now.
You know, you got time to prepare, though. I didn't get time to prepare for this.
How about Mace goes to me. He says, all right, when we come back, Alan said to me he has the most interesting topic coming up next. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
He hyped
puts
you
me
up.
Off on the spot. He puts me up on the spot there. All right, let me read a couple more tweets here. No, the Lakers are going to add more complementary pieces this offseason now that the team's image is better in the eyes of players. By the way, that's something. You know, I'll say this about Pelinka. Pelinka put together this Lakers team, and here we are, a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. Think about the perception of Pelinka in the offseason compared to the perception of Pelinka now. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to get more challenging or it's not going to get tougher. It will. But he pretty much did every move that you could make. I don't think the Lakers, the Kawhi Leonard part, I mean, listen, if that were to happen, Lakers would have been winning 3-4 championships in a row. It would have been ridiculous. I don't think Kawhi really wanted to come to the Los Angeles Lakers. But everything Pelinka's done, even at the buyout market, Markieff Morris, I can't emphasize how big that was for the Lakers for Markieff Morris. Now, the challenge is going to be for Rob Pelinka is to continue to surround Bron and Anthony Davis after this season. Continue to kind of build on the chemistry that this team had this year, and we'll see if we get a chance to play it out. You know, I heard something earlier today, and I think I've mentioned this to you guys a number of different times, so I'm watching the news like crazy. Probably shouldn't be watching it as much as I do. But every time I watch the news, and it could be sports news, there's one day I'm so optimistic we're going to have a season. The next day I'm like, it's over. No basketball for 6 months. AK, you here? You here, buddy?
Yeah. How are you doing, man?
Doing okay, Andy. How's how are you doing, man? How are things at the house? Is it kind of a crazy world for you because of the fam?
Let's just say I will never, over the course of my life, ever regret having my daughter. She's amazing. I would do anything for her. That being said, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's easier to deal with a pandemic childless than with child.
Oh, man. How old is she?
At the risk of sounding insensitive, she just turned 9. Like, she had her 9th birthday in quarantine.
Okay, so here's the thing. I was doing crosstalk with Mason in Ireland, and I told them to guess who's coming on, right? And they got to ask 3 different questions and the whole thing. First, Mason said you right off the bat, but I don't know if he was joking or what he was doing, but he didn't end up going with that answer. So they both said that if there's any way that we can get Lily on with you was what I should be trying to do tonight. That's what they said.
Do you want me to ask her if she wants to come on?
If she's interested, you know, I would. I don't want her to. Yeah,
Lily, would you like to be on the radio now? Oh, she just jumped out of bed. She's gonna leave Moana for a little bit.
Okay.
And the friend that she's FaceTiming. Moana's a movie, Alan.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Got it.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I put her on speaker?
Of course.
Should I just? Yeah. Okay.
You know, AK, well, yeah, you do. We work around you.
Well, no, I didn't know. I meant more technical. I know it works around me, Alan. I meant technically. I just meant from a technical standpoint. Does this work?
Technically, it works. Technically, it works.
How is that?
Hang on one sec. Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
We can hear you. Lily, how are you?
Good.
Lily, okay, first, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're 9 years old now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you do for your birthday? What did your dad come up with for your birthday?
The balloons in the living room.
Okay. Was that your dad's idea or your mom's idea?
My mom's idea, and then my dad's and mom got me a trampoline.
Okay. Whose idea? Just out of curiosity, you think your dad came up with that or you think your mom came up with that?
My dad.
Okay, look at you, AK.
Yeah.
Good work, AK.
Tell Alan what else that we did on your birthday.
I got to FaceTime a lot of my friends, and the day before, we made a yellow cake.
That is fantastic. All right, is that your favorite type of cake, or is there another cake that you like?
Favorite.
Okay, that's your favorite cake. I just want to make sure that your dad came through. You know what I mean? Like, this is the time to just be honest with us. If he didn't come through, you could tell me and all of Southern California, and I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you. I got a very important question. What can you tell me about your uncle, Brian Kamenitsky? How is he as an uncle? Just how is he as an uncle?
Fine.
That's it? Just fine?
My mom's doing the chatty sign.
He talks a lot. Does he talk a lot? Does Brian talk a lot?
She's shrugging. I think she's trying to be
politically correct. Yeah, she's being politically correct.
I actually don't know.
You really?
Well, I'm asking you because you're around him every day.
Yeah, I think he talks a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then there's my answer.
Okay, Lily, so here's one more question. This weekend, what movies are you going to watch?
Anything on Disney Plus.
Anything on Disney Plus, okay. All right, that's a good plug. Andy, I see why you did that.
Before we let Lily go, just because she's been seasoned, you can ask her about the Lakers or the Dodgers.
Okay, Lily, what do you think of LeBron's season this year? What did you think of LeBron's year?
You got an answer.
Sort of.
He's okay, or yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
What were you expecting from him?
A cookie.
He just asked, what were you expecting from LeBron?
Better.
She's not messing around. This is like a Pat Riley mentality, AK, that you're raising in that household.
I'm starting to wonder if Skip Bayless is actually the father.
Well, Lily, go enjoy your Friday night. Thank you for coming on, answering some of those questions.
Thank you.
All right, that's Lily Kamenitsky. Good job, AK. She was not hesitating. She was ready for every tough question. I felt like she was prepared. Just great stuff all around.
Yeah, she was a little bit political when it came to the question of Brian talking a lot, because I can tell you right now, that's what she typically says.
Poor Brian, man. Brian has no way of defending himself. And then I like how you trained your family. As we work for, Disney Corporation, she said Disney Plus right off the bat. Amazing plug there, the way you've kind of set your family up and your kids to understand who writes your checks.
Dude, let me just say right now, I mean, this is not simply because I know they're always listening. There has not been a day in the pandemic quarantined era where Frozen, Frozen 2, or Frozen and Frozen 2 have not played in this house.
Oh, like, my
when
gosh.
When I say every day, I mean every day. And then in between showings of Frozen and Frozen 2, we're hearing a lot of the songs sung, Alan. I'm starting to know all of these songs by heart. We also have seen a lot of the show. It's also a Disney show, The Descendants.
Okay.
By the end of this quarantine, I'm going to know those plot lines really well.
When they go to bed, do you throw Frozen 1 or 2 on just to have, like, your time by yourself? You don't want distractions. No distractions.
Well, I want to be able to take it in and see the whole thing, through the eyes of an adult, without some of the commentary of the child. Like, I want to be able to pick up on the nuances of Frozen 2 without her distracting me.
I think Lily is watching the movie, and it is playing over the radio. I think she's got her own soundtrack right now on. She's got her own soundtrack on right now.
It is amazing. Look.
By the way, that's like every kid, right? Like every kid. Is every kid just addicted to Frozen? Is that how that works?
Yeah. I mean, certainly. I think little boys do like it too, but little girls especially. Because it's a very female-driven cast. Like the two leads of the movie are girls, and they have very strong, really well-written characters. But Disney was very smart. They put Frozen 2 on Disney Plus earlier than it had been scheduled, I think was really cool of them to do. They recognized everybody's shut in. This will actually make life easier for some families, but also too, you're keeping them hooked. You are keeping them hooked during this period. Like I don't know for sure if Frozen 3 had been in production, but I guarantee it right now, the way people have been seeing Frozen 2, the kids have been watching Frozen 2, there's going to be a Frozen 3.
I would have pushed Frozen 2 out a year. Just another year. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. Hey, what was when you were growing up? What was your favorite Disney movie? I think I got a couple. Like, couple stand out right off the bat for me.
That's a good question. Actually, I liked Pinocchio a lot when I was a kid. I thought that was a really good one. I liked Dumbo. I'm trying to think what else I really liked, because like some of the period where I was a kid was during a bit of a fallow period as far as Disney animation goes. There was a movie I liked that I don't know how popular it was, but it was called The Secret of Nim, that I thought was really good. It was about these rats, and a young Shannon Doherty played one of the rats. Yeah, she was probably like 9 or 10. But like when I was a kid was a bit of like a bit of a in-between period. Like it was in between like the Disney classics and then the resurgence with Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin. I was in my late teens or early 20s when some of those came out.
Yeah, I think that was mine. I think Aladdin, Lion King, those two were like, that was the jam back in the days.
Oh,
when
yeah.
those were on, I was like, look, I tell my parents, I'm a grown I'm a grown man now. I'm 9. Okay, get out of my room. Lion King is coming on.
So, young pandemic, Alan Sliwa would have been watching a lot of Simba.
A lot of Simba. Okay, we've talked no sports, but I will tell you, that's probably not a shock. You listen. How often are you listening to Mason and Ireland?
Oh, every day still. You know, 3-4 hours a day.
It is hilarious sometimes, the topics that they have. And they'll go, you know, as you know this, they'll go an hour easy, and the amount of sports that comes up doesn't even matter, but it's still entertaining. All right?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think one of the things, you know, obviously it's not great for us as a station, you know, for us as an industry, and, you know, really I'd say for us as a culture to not have sports. I mean, sports, beyond the, you know, the economics of it and things like that, it's something that I think is good for us societally to have, you know, that collective experience. But we have a lot of people at the station on air that can talk about a lot of different things. And, you know, we often don't have the opportunity just because there's so much sports going on and you want to keep things organic. But now is a time where I think people really will recognize just the wide interest that a lot of the people, you know, a lot of us on air have. I mean, Brian and I, for our podcast for The Athletic, the most recent episode we did, the Athletic's been doing, it's a really cool week of sports movie content and just all these different written pieces on sports movies. I wrote a piece about Mickey Rourke's performance in The Wrestler and how I think it's in all of sports history, the most nobody else could have played it performance, like even more than Stallone and Rocky. I just think that this was a singular union between an actor and a role that just on so many different levels, nobody else could have done this thing. But Brian and I, our most recent podcast, you know, it's called The Magic Hour on the Forum Club station. That's where you can subscribe to it, the Forum Club channel. But, you know, it's typically a Lakers show. And, you know, and then Brian and I will, you know, as usual, go a little sideways, talk some non-sports stuff. But it's typically devoted to the Lakers. Our last episode was just a deep dive into the Athletic's 100 greatest sports movies of all time. And it was really fun to do. I mean, like, we really enjoyed the opportunity to just dive into something like that because we need to right now. Like, this is the stuff that we need to come up with.
I need some tips on some good movies. So when we come back, I want you to give me those tips on those movies. And should the Lakers run more zone? I'm kidding about the zone thing. Okay, just kidding, AK. We'll do that. We come back. Andy Kamenetsky hopping on the Sliwa Show. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN. I appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9. Andy Kamenetsky hopping on right now. So AK, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Any movie recommendations? I mean, anything that you've been watching that could be... I know everybody's been watching Tiger King, but anything else?
I actually have not yet seen Tiger King, and the reaction...
Okay, thank you for coming on, AK. I hope you have a great weekend, and let's keep in touch down the road. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. The reaction I'm getting from people who have seen it is so all over the map.
Yeah.
It's, you know, everything from... you have to see this thing to, it's the most repulsive look at human beings possible. Like my wife started it and she couldn't get through it. She did, I think, 2 or 3 episodes and was like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to be around these people. Like, I don't find them fascinating. I find them disgusting.
I feel smarter after watching all 6 episodes. Not at all. The show is all over the place, AK. It really is. Like, it's one of those where, there's 6 episodes. Every time one episode ends, the question I ask myself is like, why would I continue watching this? And you know, the countdown on Netflix, it's like 5, you know, next episode in 4, 3, and then I'm there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just keep watching. It doesn't make any sense. The fact that it got this much run is crazy. Like, think about all the other good, and don't get me wrong. The production of it is done very well. They find ways to kind of lure you in. It's it's appealing for some reason. It's appealing, maybe because it's so different. But think about all the good content that is out right now between HBO, Hulu, Disney, like you were just mentioning, Netflix. Like, think about all the good stuff out there, and this is the thing that got. This is the thing that everybody's running with.
I mean, what are they saying that we always stop to look at? And when you're driving, car crash.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it is the old saying about news, if it bleeds, it leads. And, you know, there is a car crash, from my understanding of Tiger King, there is a car crash element to this. You know, like, basically every single dark side of nature, you know, of human nature, I should say, I guess nature too, because we're talking about tigers and all the animals and stuff, like, it's all brought to light on this show of just, very, for lack of a better way of putting it, Florida people. Mm-hmm. Like, it is my understanding this show is everything that is Florida through and through. And if that sounds judgmental, Alan, it's because it is.
I like how you emphasize that. Just in case it wasn't judgmental, I want to make sure that I am being judgmental.
No, I want to make sure everybody understands I am judging. Like,
make it,
completely judging the state of Florida.
You got to make it clear. Okay, so what else? Okay, what else have you been doing? I mean, can we talk actually real quick about just what's going on in the world for just a second?
Sure.
How crazy is this? Like, I know it's been going on for 3 weeks now, or over 3 weeks. I mean, it's been going on for a lot longer, but I think where it really kind of started affecting most people in the States was really, I think, actually right when the NBA decided to cancel or at least postpone the season or whatever the case is. But do you ever kind of just take a step back right now and think for a second, man, this is something we're going to be talking about for the rest of our lives, like this, and it's not a one day event. This is something that we have no idea when it ends and when things probably never getting back to normal, but to some kind of normalcy.
I don't know. I mean, I've never been through something like this, Alan, where there's no answers. It's very difficult to even make educated guesses, you know, because the situation is fluid. The problem in of itself, the virus, is fluid. And, you know, my understanding of this virus is just that it's so difficult to even pinpoint who has it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be asymptomatic and have no idea. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of parts of, I would say parts of the country, but frankly, there are parts of Los Angeles where people aren't doing the social distancing that they need to be doing. They aren't taking the steps that they need to in order to try to flatten the curve and to try to get ourselves through this thing. Because I'll say this, however bad you think this is now, the best chance we have at just getting this over with, whatever getting it over with means, mm-hmm. you have to do all this stuff now. I mean, it's the equivalent mm-hmm. of taking medicine, you know, and like at some when medicine that just tastes awful,
maybe there's
side effects that knock you on your ass and make you feel nauseous and all this different stuff, but you know the medicine is the best chance of making it go away. At some point, you just have to resign yourself to taking this medicine, doctor's orders, and you know, we are literally, in terms of quarantining ourselves, following doctor's orders. That's what this is. You know, we are literally hearing it from Dr. Fauci.
It's a trip to me. And, you know, listen, I think I'm incredibly fortunate because the way this can affect somebody else could be a lot different than the way it's affected me so far. Okay, so, and that could be from I still got my job, right? I'm still working. I'm Monday through Friday, I'm taking care of things for work. I have the ability to go outside and go for a walk. Like, it hasn't hit me the way that it has probably hit others around the country or the world or whatever the case is. But what's crazy to me, AK, is like just the small things, right? Like the little things. Do you go, are you taking any walks outside, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. Between walking the dog, mm-hmm. and also just my wife and my daughter and I try to take at least one walk a day together, and I've been running a few days a week. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm outside.
Are you training for the season?
There's going to be look, Alan. There's going to be NBA chaos, and with chaos comes opportunity.
And, you know, maybe this is my shot at getting into the league and becoming an incredible storyline.
You're like, Sliwa, listen, I don't know what your lazy ass is doing, but I do 1,500 sit-ups while I'm on the show with you, so why don't you pick it up a notch? Look, no,
this,
but
this is what quarantine life has been like for me, Alan. Ripped. I am absolutely ripped.
I just eat egg whites all day. I just eat egg whites. That's my diet right now. Just egg whites. I don't want to hear anything else. I go straight to the grocery store, do egg whites. But no, but this is what I was going to say. Just like the little things are what throw me off. So you said you're going for walks. I mean, don't you go out of your way to make sure you definitely don't walk by another person? Just literally by another person. And what's crazy, it's like somebody that does walk by me, I'm like, what are they thinking? Like, how can they do that? I mean, all those like small things, or just, I haven't been going to the grocery store much. I think I got, you know, just some enough stuff that, you know, it could last you or whatever, just a couple egg weeks white. Or whatever the case is. Just egg whites. That's all I need is egg whites, right? Expired or not, it doesn't matter. But AK, it's a trip. Like, you're seeing these lines at the grocery store. Legitimate, you're going to probably have to wait close to an hour if you want to get into a grocery store, or all these restaurants and shops that are closed. Like, these small things, again, I know I'm fortunate, but it's just kind of crazy to wrap your head around what's going on. You know, like, it really genuinely is crazy to wrap your head around it.
I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, the closest thing you can come up with is like Spanish flu 100 or so years ago. But even then, the world was different. You know, I mean, like the world was different. You know, the way commerce worked was different. The way, I think, you know, as my understanding of history and stuff, the way we were as a country in terms of industry, industrialization, and, you know, like factories and things like that. Like, everything is different. Now, you know, you didn't have as much stuff outsourced and, you know, like being brought in from other countries the way they do now in America, which, as my understanding, has put us behind the eight ball in certain elements of trying to get this thing under control. But, you know, what we are going through right now is just, it's unprecedented times that nobody has a clue how it's going to turn out.
AK, what's Have you played out scenarios in your head? Like, if I try and somewhat in some way try to kind of tie it back into sports, have you thought about it at all? Have you been like, okay, you know what? If you're the NBA, you feel, I don't know if optimistic is the right word, but do you think we'll be playing basketball at some point this year? Like, do you think they'll get a chance to finish off this season?
Well, they're not going to finish off. I mean, there's
or not the regular season, yeah, but just I guess you could say the playoff run.
I mean, I think they're really going to try hard, but you know, the news being so fluid, and you know, the situation being as difficult to pin down as it is, makes it, I think, very hard to know exactly which of the million scenarios they're trying to plan for could actually play out. I mean, I know earlier in this week, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated had a piece that he wrote about Las Vegas perhaps being the touchdown point for the NBA. Basically, they do all of the remaining games of the playoffs in one space in Las Vegas, which, you know, would, I think, in and of itself be logistically difficult, but at least you'd cut down on the idea of travel. You'd have all these different people involved contained in one place that hopefully...
Warm weather city. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you just do certain things to help I guess, lessen the odds of potentially contracting or spreading this. But then today, you know, Brian Windhorst was on SportsCenter saying that there's a lot of pessimism right now. And the problem is we keep hearing new numbers and projections of, you know, lives being lost and things like that. And beyond just the overwhelming sadness of that, just, you know, how staggering it is to even just wrap your head around that. When you start thinking about the practical issues of, can we do this in a way that is safe, you know, in a way that doesn't feel like we are putting our athletes at risk in the name of money, and we're putting the support staffs of these teams at risk in the name of money. I mean, you know, whatever, even if there's a skeleton crew there of television people to broadcast it. You know, whoever would be directly in this, are we putting them in danger? I mean, there's not going to be fans of these games. I mean, we can write that off right now. That's not going to happen. It's just the idea of, you know, can we even put all of these players in the same place in a way that is safe? You know, if they're all staying in a hotel in Las Vegas, can they make sure that whoever is in charge of, you know, bringing them room services, providing whatever services, I don't know who is still in this hotel, but there are so many moving parts to this, and the NBA can't afford to get it wrong, or any league that starts back up again. They have to get these decisions right. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of, on a much larger scale, and it's not an exact apples-to-apples comparison, but when Chris Bosh was looking to make a comeback several years ago from the blood clot issues that he was having, I felt awful in the moment thinking this, but I was like, there's no way Chris Bosh is ever going to play again, because no team is going to be the one that wants to take that risk of something awful happening to Chris Bosh. Like, even if he gets medical clearance, even if he signs every waiver you would ever need, and you know that you are not legally responsible as a team, it would still be questioned whether or not you were ethically responsible if something tragic had happened with Bosh. That's the same question, but on a massive scale.
AK, on a scale of 1 to 10, how busy are you right now?
You know what? It's funny, man. Like, I work in an industry that's basically shut down, but at the same time, like, I'm playing writer because, you know, I still do my work for The Athletic, still creating content, you know, still trying to pop by on air whenever I can. But on top of it, I'm also playing unqualified third grade teacher, massively unqualified. Let me tell you something. If there's a bright side, maybe, to any of this, there's going to be a lot of people across this country who realize just how underpaid teachers work.
Ah, like, absolutely
underpaid these people work. But I'm playing, you know, sports writer, podcaster.
Here's why.
Great teacher, chef.
And here's why I was asking. Do you have time to stick around for one more segment? Do you have time for one more?
Okay. Yes, I can stick around.
Because I want to do this. You were saying that the NBA can't get it wrong, or just the sports leagues can't get it wrong. I want to hit on that. And then Dabo, Dabo Sweeney, coach of Clemson, I thought had some interesting stuff. I want to get your thoughts on that. So we'll be right back. Andy Kamenetsky here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.